no secret that being a farmer can be a tough job. Jeff Ditzenberger knows this firsthand. He's a corn and soy farmer in Monroe. He's struggled for decades with mental health problems and says that the suck it up attitude that many rural residents embrace isn't always helpful. In 2015, he started a support group called TUGS, or Talking, Understanding, Growth, and Support, and has been an advocate for mental health for farmers and other rural residents. We talked to Jeff last week. Jeff, thanks a lot for coming up to the studio today.
Not a problem. I appreciate it. Thanks for asking me.
Well, before we get into your story and the story of TUGS, talk about some of the struggles and stresses that farmers face day to day that people who aren't in the business might not even think of.
Right now, commodity prices, any commodity, whether it's milk, soybeans, corn, oats, wheat, whatever, all the different products that we're producing to put on America's tables are at an all-time low. They're at a 10-year low. As a matter of fact, the farm that I used to dairy with, they're getting less for their milk now than my dad was getting before he got out back in the early 90s. So that's one of the biggest struggles. I've talked to quite a few farmers that are starting to bite into their equity, bite into their savings accounts, just to make ends meet. And that's a huge struggle right off the bat. I mean, you know, you don't like to think that money makes people happy, and it doesn't necessarily, but, you know, you can't really call your bill collectors and say, hey, I don't have it this month. You got to figure out a way to make it work.
And even when things are going well this month, there's that, you know, that threat, I guess, of one thing going wrong, sick animals, broken equipment, whatever, that tips you over the edge.
Yeah, you know, it used to be that they used to say that, you know, farming was a job that anybody can do, and I would challenge that every day. You need to be a money manager, you need to be a banker, you need to be an equipment appraiser, you need to be an agronomist, you need to know the land, you need to be a family person if you've got, you know, kids, wife, or husband, depending on, and, you know, that's one of the things too. There's a lot of females that are doing this job now as a primary farm shareholder. Or, you know, the husband's doing a job in town where they're staying home and taking care of the animals and stuff like that. And it's a pretty tough balance. Weather, you know, you can't control the weather at all. And I tell people in this business and in life in general, you know, the only thing you can truly control is your attitude. And that's one of the things that we're starting to see kind of dwindle. Farmers are very proud people, but pride doesn't pay the bills.
Let's talk about your story a little bit. 25 years ago, that day-to-day, it sounds like it got to be too much for you.
It was pretty bad. My marriage was falling apart, and I was actually working on a farm and working in town at the time. Depression was starting to get to me. I had just gotten back from stint in the Gulf, and I didn't see any combat, but there was still a lot of tensions that went on. And then even coming back to the States, there were people that, you know, didn't think that we should be there, and we dealt with a lot of that type of stuff. So I was kind of dealing with that too. Luckily for me, I never got involved with the narcotic types of the drugs, but alcohol is pretty easily accessible, to the point where I was putting that in my coffee in the morning. I was having beer or mixed drinks at lunch. I'd come home and do chores and go finish a 12-pack of something or a bottle of something or whatever, and just, you know, kind of muddling through life. And I remember, one of the things I remember vividly was reaching out to people and saying, you know, hey, I'm not feeling right. I don't feel like my normal self. I'm not happy, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that was the, you know, I'll suck it up, you know, especially from a male standpoint. I mean, males, generally speaking, the men in society, we're not supposed to talk about our feelings. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to get rid of, too. Not only the stigma of mental health, but the fact that men are just as human as anybody else. And if you need to talk to somebody, by God, talk to somebody.
And you hit a point where you were, maybe you came out of it not sure what just happened, maybe ready to take your own life.
And I did. The other thing, there's a misconception out there about suicide where a lot of people think it's a rash decision. You know, I planned mine over probably three, four weeks or more. The part of it that's kind of ironic is that the way that I intended to do it, I was a firefighter at the time, and I lit an old abandoned house on fire. And that's how I was going to finish myself off, which a lot of times when I start some of my speeches about this, I'm like, if you're going to fail, try to set the building on fire and have your suicide note in your pocket, because it's probably not going to get out to people. I mean, that's how messed up a person's mind can get. And later on, too, a lot of the people that, you know, that I'd reached out to, or even people that I didn't reach out to, were like, we had no idea, none whatsoever. And you know, it's not, you advertise it as much as you can, but there's two challenges, and it's still, 25 years later, this is still a challenge. There's two challenges with it. Is one, there's still a stigma with people that have mental health issues. I have PTSD. I am bipolar 2. I have anxiety, relationship anxiety, and a few other things. You know, if you see somebody sniffling, you'll, even if you don't know them, you might say, hey, you got a cold? Oh, yeah, I got a cold. Oh, this is what I did for that. If you see somebody kind of down in the dumps, a lot of times you don't take that, hey, are you okay today? You know, and the other thing, the other part of that is that if you ask that question, you know, and the common answer mostly is, oh, yeah, great, you know.
No problem.
How you doing? Oh, good, I'm good. You know, I don't think a lot of us are prepared to hear that, no, I'm not okay today.
I want to get into your group, your project here, Tugs. And mm-hmm. I love the name because you're in the Navy.
Yes, sir.
And you're inspired by the tugboat. So you got the biggest, strongest boats on the ocean, and they need a little bump sometimes. And yep. That doesn't mean they're weak, right? I love that metaphor.
Gosh, it's almost like you're taking my thunder on that, like you're in my brain. But no, so I spoke out at Guys Night Out up here in Madison a couple years ago for the Madison Safe Communities. And I really didn't know what I was going to talk about. I mean, I had a speech all written, and myself and a buddy of mine and my uncle and another friend got in the vehicle, and we're driving up here, and I ripped the paper up, and I threw it in the McDonald's bag because we had grabbed a little bite to eat on the way up here. You know, they're like, isn't that your speech? And I'm like, yeah. And so I'm, you know, and I don't normally write speeches. I do a lot of stuff off the cuff. And all of a sudden, it's time for me to talk. And I get up there, and I'm still not sure. So I introduce myself, and I kind of talk about a little bit of my history, and I mention the Navy, and that's when it hit me. We were on the second largest displacement ship in the military. So you have the aircraft carriers, and then there's us. Now, with us, when you come into port, or if you have to go through docks, or if you have to go through, like, a treacherous, you know, narrow waterway or whatever, you call a tugboat. And this little tugboat comes on over, and you can't see them usually, but you know they're there. And, you know, they get you through this treacherous water, or they put you back home, or put you into port or whatever. And, you know, and I said, and I think that's what all of us need is a tug, someone that we can reach out to when times are tough. One of the biggest challenges in the mental health industry right now is that there's not a lot of therapists out there, and if you call, it takes forever to get in. Not everybody needs that right now, though. Sometimes you just need somebody to talk to. And the acronym TUGS is talking, understanding, growing, and supporting. And so in 2015, I did my articles of incorporation, got it all incorporated and stuff, put the board together. We kind of did some smaller group venues. And one of my goals is that hopefully I can help other communities set up kind of the same thing. When you come into our meetings, it's kind of like AA or NA. That's what I kind of modeled it around a little bit from some friends that I had talked to. You basically come in. You don't have to say your name. You can sit in the back corner and listen. And maybe somebody's up at the podium that talks about what happened to them. And you can relate to them. And you go up and talk to them afterwards. And you exchange phone numbers or emails or something. And then on those bad days, that's the person you reach out to.
I got to ask, though, at the first meeting, you got a group of guys, mm-hmm. farmers, mm-hmm. people who don't want to talk mm-hmm. about this stuff, people who don't want to hear this stuff. What happened at the first meeting?
It's quiet. Anytime you get into a group setting, you know, there's that risk because you have so many different personalities and so many different problems and stuff. And basically, so what I ended up doing is kind of explaining what the goal was, because it was kind of a pilot meeting anyways. I wanted to kind of get the mood and the feel and stuff. And I told him, I said, you know, this isn't group therapy. This is a support group. There's you know, two different, you know, I've got people on staff and on the board that are versed in that and that are psychologists, psychiatrists that you know, can be referred to or whatever. But that's not what I just, you know, so threw out the question, you know, how's everybody doing?
Yeah, we're fine.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
So, you know, and so then I told my story. And I think one of the easiest things to do is just get the conversation started. You know, and people ask me, you know, do you get tired of telling your story over and over again? And I don't, you know, because there's always certain little things, certain different things like that. I remember when Vice News came out from HBO and interviewed me, we actually went back to the site. And that was the first time in 25 years. And wow. It really took me out of my comfort zone. But it closed the chapter, you know. And so for me, you know, I keep thinking that the more I tell my story, hopefully it'll reach other people. even if they don't tell their story, if it just makes them feel a little bit better, or even if you hear somebody and you take that adage of, geez, maybe my life isn't quite as bad as I thought it was, you know, that's my goal. Getting people to talk, obviously, is extremely important to me, but right now, getting people just to know that it's okay to not be okay, that's my bigger message right now.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from your fellow farmers who have joined in and maybe taken the plunge and told part of their story?
The response has been pretty overwhelming, especially since the most recent interviews with Channel 3000 and obviously HBO. I mean, I've even had people contact me from all over the United States now. And I want to make it clear, I'm not a therapist. I have no mental health training. I know a lot of stuff, but you know, it's a personal experience type thing. It's really surprising how people are reaching out. The other thing that people reach out and do though too, which is kind of cool, is that, you know, hey, I can relate to this, you know, or I just talked to my dad and he just said that he saw your interview too. And, you know, and now we're talking about things that has been tension between us and stuff like that. So that's what the whole idea originally was with Tugs, is just to start to get these conversations started. Because, like, when I was going through my tough time that led up to my suicide attempt, I didn't want to talk to my family about it because I already felt like I was a burden already anyways. And for those of you that are out there that are listening to this, that are in that mode, you're not a burden to anybody. Reach out to someone, a friend, you know, somebody who you know is going to be, who's going to be neutral. And my Tug, that I have my own personal Tug, you know, we're open and honest with each other. If he thinks I'm being a Sally, he lets me know I'm being a Sally. If he thinks that I, you know, maybe need to call a therapist, I call a therapist. But at least I have someone who's completely unbiased, and that's what the idea behind it was. Someone unbiased but yet still cares enough to listen to you that, you know, it gets you through that rough patch.
Now, you had a message there for people who might be going through that rough patch. How about the people around them? What should people watch for, listen for? How can they react when they get that sense, like you were saying earlier, you're not feeling like yourself, things aren't quite right now?
You know, a couple years ago, I saw somebody who had a scar on their head, and I was in a grocery store, and I didn't know this person, and somebody came up to him, and they said, hey, did you just have surgery? That's what you need to do. If you see somebody who's having that, who doesn't look, especially if it's someone you know and it's not their normal demeanor and stuff, don't be afraid to ask, but also don't be afraid to maybe hear some stuff you're not going to want to hear. And if you can't handle that, tell them, hey, I'm not able to help you with this. I don't understand entirely what you're going through, but I understand you're having a tough time. Let's see if we can't get you some help. What would make you comfortable? Do we need to talk to a therapist? I mean, I've called 911 before with friends that have had other friends on the phone or on Messenger or whatever the case may be, you know, but don't take away from those people. Don't try to devalue or invalidate, is that a word, what they're going through, because it's real. There's a lot of this going on out there right now.
But we're Wisconsin nice, Jeff, and we don't want to pry. How can we get over that?
You need to ask the question. Put yourself in that person's shoes. I mean, that's, to me, that's what I always go through real quick. When we were going down to where my suicide attempt had happened, one of my things that I enjoy to do is ride motorcycles. So I took my motorcycle down there. Took a wrong turn on purpose because I started to get shaky, and last thing I knew, I'm looking down at my speedometer. I hope there's no cop friends of mine out there listening to this, but I'm doing like 80 miles an hour down the road because I wanted to get away from there. And all of a sudden it hit me. I'm like, this is not about you. This is about everybody who felt like you. This is the time to make that difference and to tell people that, you know, just because you're feeling bad doesn't mean that you can't talk to people about it. So I, you know, turned around, told the crew that, hey, I took a wrong turn, you know, whatever, went down there and faced it. And that's, if we are Wisconsin nice and we are a proud state, but we take care of our own. You know, we've got a great football team. That football team takes care of themselves. You know, they're taking care of each other all the time. The Packers, you know, that's a team aspect and stuff, and they're keeping each other up. The challenge that it is, especially with the farming community, which was, you know, and I don't focus strictly on the farming community, but that's community I know really, really well. But with the farming community, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in their lives. If you live next to a farmer, most of them have an open-door policy. Bake them some cookies and take them over and say, hey, I hear you're having some struggle, or I hear times are tough, or hey, you know what, I think your farm's beautiful and you do a great job, and thanks for putting food on my table and, you know, being conscientious about what you're doing, et cetera, et cetera. You have to have that conversation. We need to get over that stigma that mental health is a bad thing, because we all have it.
Jeff, thanks a lot for coming up, and thanks for the work you're doing.
Not a problem. Thank you.
That was Jeff Ditzenberger, corn and soy farmer in Monroe. In 2015, he started a support group called TUGS, or Talking, Understanding, Growth, and Support. He's been an advocate for mental health for farmers and other rural residents.